Good morning. Our reading today is from Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 36. Jesus appears to the disciples. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God.
Thank you, Edwina. Good morning, church. Good morning, everybody online. Wave to the Holy Spirit, vacuuming in the sanctuary there. Peace be with you. Now, I've got a question for you. How many of you can remember where you were and what you were doing on the 31st of August, 1997? Assuming you were alive at that time. 31st of August, 1997, what happened? 31st of August, 1997. Pardon?
Summer holidays.
Yep. You just got married. What else happened? Summer holidays, marriages.
Princess Diana's funeral.
It was the day that Princess Diana died, 31st of August, 1997. And I think as I mention that to you now, those of you who have suddenly had that thought, I can imagine you knew where you were and what was happening on the 31st of August, 1997. I was on a ferry coming back from Gothenburg in Sweden with Jane and our sons, who were 4 and 1 at the time when the news came through. I felt it in the pit of my stomach. My head started spinning. My world was turned upside down because I thought Lady Di would live forever. And now she was gone. And I was filled with fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Peace be with you. How many of you remember what you were doing and where you were on the 11th of September 2001? Yeah, a few more instant recollections there. The Twin Towers. I was delivering a workshop near Oxford when the news came through. We stopped the workshop, we huddled around the TV screen as those planes flew into the side of those buildings and the Twin Towers collapsed. And we felt it in the pit of our stomachs. Our heads started spinning. We were filled with fear, uncertainty, and doubt because we believed that those twin towers would stand forever. And now they were gone. Now here's one especially for Matt. Where is Matt? Who remembers where they were and what they were doing on the 27th of February 2011? I'm looking at the Blues fans in the audience here now. Roy, 27th of February 2011. Birmingham City won the cup against Arsenal. Terrible day. But I was there. I was there at Wembley in the 89th minute when the Arsenal goalkeeper Szczesny spilt the ball and Obafemi Martins tapped it into an open net. And there was an outpouring of joy amongst the Blues believers that day. But what I remember most about that day was the journey home on the train, on the Chiltern Line back to Solihull. After all the adrenaline had drained away, there was an eerie silence among the Birmingham City fans. Not a word was spoken because something had happened that we never expected to happen. We thought the silverware in the second city was always going to be won by our Aston Villa cousins, and we'd won the cup. We felt it in the pit of our stomachs. Our heads were spinning. Our world had been turned upside down because we never believed that Birmingham would win the cup, and now it had happened. Yes, we'd had the peace and the joy, but we also felt the fear, uncertainty and doubt, because where did this leave us now as a team that had suddenly won the cup? So Lady Di's death, 9/11, Birmingham winning the cup, these are all examples of when we had those moments when our world turned upside down and we felt that fear, uncertainty and doubt. So maybe we can relate a bit better to how Jesus' disciples felt in that moment when Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, suddenly appeared amongst them and said, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." And you're there looking at the resurrected Jesus. You're feeling it in the pit of your stomach. Your head is spinning because your deepest belief, the belief that death is real and that when someone dies, they're gone, it's over, finito, has just been shattered in front of your very eyes because the resurrected Jesus is stood in front of you. Peace be with you. And then in the midst of that ball of confusion, you're sure that you hear him say, "Have you got anything to eat? Have you got anything to eat?" I mean, it's like you're sat at home on a Sunday afternoon. There's a knock at the door. You open the door and the Queen stood there. And she says, "Peace be with you. I was just passing, John. Felt a bit peckish. What have you got in the fridge?" What a strange thing to say. What did Jesus mean? Peace be with you. Wasn't it a very insensitive thing to say just in that moment when you've shattered someone's deepest belief? Now, I've thought about those words every day for the past month as I prepared for this sermon. I've thought about them in the shower. I've thought about them in the gym. I've thought about them on the train. And I think I've worked out what Jesus meant. I think what Jesus meant in that moment when he said, "Peace be with you," he meant that everything that has happened until this point now is part of God's plan, and everything that happens from this point now onwards is also part of God's plan. Jesus is real. Nothing real can be threatened. Death is not real. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. Peace be with you. So let us unpack those verses a little bit more, because those disciples who were terrified in verse 37, by verse 53, they felt great joy. How did they go from fear, uncertainty, and doubt to peace, faith, and joy in 15 verses? Because maybe if we could unpack that and we knew how they did it, maybe we could do that the next time we have one of those life-changing, pit-of-the-stomach moments. So I want to unpack those verses, and I think I want to share with you what I think Jesus shared with the disciples, which are three keys to peace. Three keys to peace that they used, that Jesus invited them to use in that moment, and that we can still use now, 2,000 years later, whenever we want to feel that deeper peace, faith, and joy. The first key to peace, verse 39, Jesus said, "Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." So the first key to peace is that Jesus is real. He was real then, he was real as the resurrected Jesus, and he is real now, today. He is not a ghost. Throughout Luke's gospel, Luke is stressing all the time that Jesus is fully human as well as fully divine, that he is a real body, a real person. And as he appeared towards the disciples, he said, "It is I, me, I am not a ghost." So that first key to peace is for us to remind ourselves that today Jesus is as real as he was then, and we are able to access that and touch his presence anytime we wish to. The second key to peace, verses 44 to 45, "Then he said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." So the second key to peace is that throughout Jesus' ministry, he was dropping little clues all the time as to what the plan was. He knew what was going to happen. It's just that the disciples didn't get it. And for us, reading the Bible now, it's like watching the best Agatha Christie movie in history, because we all know who did it. And we're shouting at the screen going, "It's obvious, it's obvious. It's them, it's him." But of course, the disciples, their minds were not opened. They couldn't join the dots. Therefore, they didn't believe that there was a plan. And Jesus is saying to them now, "I'm going to join the dots for you. I'm going to open your minds to Scripture." And in a flash, it all made sense. So the second key to peace for us today is that everything is part of God's plan. It's all revealed in Scripture. It's just that we don't get it yet. But we can have our own minds opened to more and more truth around Scripture, which hopefully gives us more and more peace around God's plan. The third key to peace, verse 49, "And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Stay in the city until you've been clothed with that power from on high. So Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, is that power from on high that was promised. So the third key to peace that the disciples realized then was that the Holy Spirit was coming, and the Holy Spirit was something that would give them power, and they would have access to that whenever they wanted to have access to that. So for us today, that third key is that the Holy Spirit, we are not alone. The third key is we are not alone. The Holy Spirit is always available to us, but we have to wait and we have to ask. So those are the three keys to peace that Jesus shared. Jesus is real. There is a plan. It's revealed by Scripture. It's just that we don't get it. And thirdly, we are not alone. The Holy Spirit is always available to us if we wait and if we ask. So when Lady Diana died, when the Twin Towers collapsed, when Birmingham won the cup, if we were able to tap into those beliefs in those moments, that I believe is what Jesus meant when he said, "Peace be with you." He meant that everything that's happened until this point now is part of God's plan. Everything that happens from this point onwards is part of God's plan. Jesus is real. death is unreal, therein lies the peace of God. So, church, I'd like us to work with the three keys to peace. I'd like us to do a little bit of work with those three keys here and now. I'd like us to do a short quiz together. Everyone likes a quiz, and this quiz are no wrong answers. There's only three questions. And it's a quiz called, Am I a True Believer? Am I a True Believer is the name of this quiz. And online, I'd invite you to also join in with this quiz as we work together with it. So I'm going to ask you three questions, and I want for you to answer those questions in your own heads and hold those answers, and then we'll do a little bit of work with those. And this is really just practicing understanding maybe and thinking about where do we stand in terms of these three keys to peace. So the first question I want to ask you is, on a scale of 0 to 10, how much do you believe that Jesus is real, that he is not a ghost, that he's as real today as he was 2,000 years ago when he appeared to those disciples? So just score yourself out of 10 on that and hold that number in your mind. Second question, am I a true believer? Second question is, do you believe that there is a plan? It's God's plan. There always was a plan. There always will be a plan. It's just that we don't get it, even though it's been fully revealed in Scripture. So just hold that number in your mind, 0 to 10. How much do you believe there is a plan? Final question, third question. How much do you believe on a scale of 0 to 10 that you are not alone, that the Holy Spirit is available to you if only you wait and if only you ask? So just hold that number in your mind. You should have three numbers now. I'm not going to ask you to sort of share those numbers or do any more with those numbers now, but it's something that I would encourage you in your life groups this week to maybe take those numbers and do a bit more work with them and talk about them, see what it's revealing to you about your walk with Jesus and where that key to peace might be even more accessible to you. But I will share with you, we'll just do a little bit of instant market research on those scores, just to get a feel for who we are as a church and where we sit with those questions. When I did those questions earlier in the week, I scored myself 8, 7, 9. So I scored myself 8 out of 10 in terms of, do I believe Jesus is real, he's not a ghost? 80% of the time, yes, I think I'm a true believer in that. But there are 20% of the time I think I wobble on that one. Do I believe there is a plan? It's God's plan and it's revealed by Scripture, but I just don't get it. I gave myself 7 out of 10 on that. I think I'm a 70%. I'm a bit of a control freak. I like to think that it's my plan sometimes rather than God's plan. So I mark myself a bit down on that. And then the final question, do I believe I'm not alone, that I've got access to the Holy Spirit if only I wait and if only I ask? Yeah, I'm giving myself a 9 out of 10 on that. 90% of the time, I think I feel I can call upon the Spirit. 10% of the time, I'm blinded to that and I lose that, and that's when I lose my peace. So that's me. That's me, 8, 7, 9. That's telling me there's some stuff that I've got to work on. There's more peace that I can access if I work more on some of those beliefs. Maybe just do a quick show of hands in the church. Did anybody score themselves 10, 10, 10 on all three beliefs? One person, Nick. I think, Nick, you better come up here. I don't think I'm qualified. So Nick's gone for 10 out of 10, 10. Nick, you are outstanding in more ways than one in terms of this congregation. But it's interesting, isn't it? 10, 10, 10, great. Maybe there's some tips that we could learn from that. Those of you that didn't get 10, 10, 10, let's just have a show of hands on your lowest score. So how many of you scored lowest on that first question, I believe Jesus is real, he is not a ghost. How many of you scored your lowest score on that? Nobody. Interesting. How many scored your lowest score on, I believe there's a plan, it's God's plan, it's revealed in Scripture, it's just that I don't get it? How many scored your lowest score on that? Yeah, okay, so quite a few hands going up there on that second one. And how many scored your lowest score on, I believe I'm not alone, the Holy Spirit is available to me, if only I wait and if only I ask? How many of you scored lowest on that? Yeah, probably similar number. So this is just a way for us to talk about and discuss our beliefs and where we might be able to find more from talking with other people, from studying Scripture, from coming to church. How could we become more of that peace, faith, and joy that Jesus was promising to his disciples when he said, "Peace be with you"? What did he mean when he said, "Peace be with you"? He meant that everything that's happened to this point now is part of God's plan. Everything that happens from this point onwards is part of God's plan. Jesus is real. He's not a ghost. Death is unreal. Therein lies the peace of God. Now, we're coming to the close of my sermon this morning. Now, I've missed something out. The observant ones amongst you will have known that I've missed something out, something very important from the verses that Edwina shared with us. And that's the last three verses, verses 50 to 53. If I could have left them out completely, I would have done. But they were actually part of the scripture for today, so I need to address them. Verses 50 to 53. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. He withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. The ascension. I scored myself 8, 7, 9 on those earlier beliefs that Jesus is challenging me with. And now I'm faced with the ascension. Do I believe in the ascension? Am I a true believer in the ascension? That Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, was carried up to heaven in front of those disciples. And again, I'm scoring myself 0 out of 10 on, am I a true believer in the ascension? And the rational, scientific part of me is really fighting with this in terms of whether I can take this on board. But then I think about the resurrection. I think about the ascension. I think about Pentecost. I see Peter running towards the empty tomb, grasping at strips of linen. I see Mary Magdalene looking up at the gardener, shouting, "Rabboni, teacher." I remember Thomas, doubting Thomas, feeling those wounds of Jesus and crying, "My Lord and my God." I start to think about the supernatural. I start to think about what is real and what is not real. And then last of all, I hear the words of Paul, the Apostle Paul. "For now we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But now I've become a man, I've put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. Now we know in part, and then we will know. We will know 100% fully. We will know even as we are known." Thank you, church. Peace be with you.